11 o'clock hour of Wildea Tausch begins now, and it begins with one of our favorite guys. Not Tausch, although it begins with him as well, but with Elton Jenkins. Tausch, that's fair, right? He's one of our favorite guys.
I would think from the current guys on this team, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
And as has been reported by me and others, he has not been taking part in the off-season program, not phase one or phase two, was not at the OTA that we attended last week, another OTA this week. I predict he will not be there. Jacob Monk has been working at center. Sean Ryan has also gotten reps at center. So he's another alternative there, but obviously the entire shuffling is predicated in part on moving Elton Jenkins to center. Tausch, before we hear what Jordan Love had to say, I've said this before, we've talked about it, the idea of players don't have much leverage other than withholding their services. The fact that they have planned their offensive line around Elton moving to center. Because remember, they lost two offensive linemen to injuries and had two guys play poorly in Elton's place. And Jacob Monk, who was active, still didn't play in that playoff game. Does that give Elton any improved chance of getting what he wants, which is not new money, just guaranteeing some of the money that's already on his contract?
I mean, I think just like when, you know, we talked last week about City getting cut surprisingly, they don't do that if they don't have somebody lined up, Lane Taylor, that they thought could go in and play and maybe not play as well. They obviously want Elton to be there, and I'll be shocked if they don't figure something out. But as far as how much leverage, I think it gives you a little bit. But if Elton thinks he is going to, you know, break the bank and get everything he wants, no. But this is one of those perfect scenarios where, all right, we want you here. We want to make sure you feel good about it. We're going to, you know, do some things. And ironically, I think this is going to end up being probably less money on an annual, you know, average, but a lot more in guarantees and giving yourself an opportunity. Because from Elton's standpoint, I think we can all sit here and say, well, this is what it should look like. This, he's under contract. Well, no. I mean, he is going to be asked to play a new position as an older player on a team that doesn't give out a lot of contracts to older people. This is his shot to try and get some security. So I get where he's coming from. And if I'm a, you know, Packer front office guy, I'm like, well, let's see how this goes. Well, that's great if you can pull that off, but that's why Elton's doing what he is doing. So there's easy solutions here. They want Elton. Elton wants to play center. Mm-hmm. And you have just revamped a whole group. Elton Jenkins is still really good. This is not a case where he's a broken down, washed up player. Mm-hmm. He still is a good player. So figuring that piece of it out, I think, is going to be probably a little bit tricky. But in the grand scheme of things, we played this leverage game with Joe Douglas a while ago. You know, there isn't this isn't like one guy's holding the hammer and the other's not. They want him to play. He wants to play. It should be an easy solution.
Right, and he doesn't want to break the bank. I think it's important to emphasize that, right? If he did, then you're right. It's not an easy solution. But I don't even think he wants new money. I think he just wants some of the money that's there to be guaranteed so he has some measure of security. So what are the drawbacks, then, of him not participating in OTAs when they are trying to configure their offensive line? Obviously, they've brought in Aaron Banks and paid him big money, break the bank money. They are competing at the other three spots. So is that, well, allegedly.
I get it.
How does that affect the process of getting to know each other? Well, we asked Jordan Love that, and we also asked Jordan Love if he needs to work with a new center, because this will be someone different than Josh Myers snapping to him. Here is how Jordan Love answered that question.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, for Elton, You know, I have no doubt that he'd be able to step in and be a great center. You know, he's the most experienced guy we have in the O-line room. He definitely knows all the calls and everything he has to do. I'd say, yeah, just getting on the same page with snaps. You know, we've got a good amount of snaps going banked in the tank to be able to go forward. But with that QB center change, you know, we work that every day. So that's something that once he gets back out here, we'll have to keep working, keep getting on the same page with, because, you know, you just want to be as comfortable as possible with that center quarterback change and everything we do under center gun. So I know Eldon will be able to step in and play center. He can play any position on the O-line at a high level. We know what he's about, so there's no doubt about that. But definitely just with that center quarterback change, we'd love to have him here and just be working on that. Something we're going to have to work on when he gets back.
Banked in the tank, Tausch. They've got a lot of snaps banked in the tank. Is that a challenge, A, for Love, and B, for the other guys on the offensive line?
I mean, obviously, you want to get all those reps. And I think from Jordan's standpoint, you want to have such a comfortability with your center's tuchus that you know everything about it. And that's not to be weird. It's just that's the reality. You want to know when he's got a reach block to his right, how that snap's going to come, because you can't have any of those quarterback center exchange. And usually that happens early in camp and coaches go crazy and everybody settles in and it's not a thing. And you want to make sure you get that worked out. So would it be better if you start feeling that way in, you know, in OTAs and in minicamp? Sure. But really, doing that with pads on is a whole different animal anyways. You're going to go through this process. I couldn't be less concerned about an OTA or mini camp with Elton. Elton's been here. He's been around. I want him in the beginning of camp. I want him to go through the bumbled snap, maybe a missed snap or two, maybe a miss, you know, reaching hard to his left, this, snapping out of the gun, all of those things with pads on, when you have to reach a nose, when you have to, you know, get over there and get a one technique. That's what the concern level would be. And then obviously you want to get how you're going to work combo blocks with your new left guard, with your right guard, whoever that's going to end up being. Those are the things. And then understanding with your quarterback the protection adjustments and how you're going to call those out and how you're going to get everybody lined. That's really what it is. And even though training camp is going to be obviously cut back and a lot less, that's still the concern level that you probably have. You're going to have time. You're going to get it. This little period of time here, normally you want everybody there, no doubt. This is going to be a big old nothing burger if and when they do figure out what this will look like for Elton and his contract moving forward.
All right, two questions that I don't think I've ever asked you. One, at any point in your football journey, peewees, high school, college, NFL, did you ever play a snap at center?
I snapped a bunch in practice. I never took a – I think I probably did in JV, or – I probably played a little bit of center, but I never was – that was never my spot. But I can remember Rodgers being a little irritated when I would take center snaps and I was sweaty. He didn't like it. And I normally would do that. I'd wear a sweat jacket just to make it uncomfortable
for him.
Make
it worse.
And with Brett, Brett never really – that was never something we ever dabbled with. But early in my career when I was a rookie, I tried to play every spot I could. And it was just – center was one of them. But in a game action, that never came to fruition.
And then – so you got extra sweaty for Rodgers because he didn't like that. Didn't he talk about the – was it Corey Linsley that he talked about? That he was concerned about the level of sweating? Or maybe it was Evan Dietrich Smith. I don't remember. The other thing
it is a thing. I mean, obviously, that's why there's towels and – you start getting into, especially early game, you go down to Miami in September, October, there's you don't want – I'm not gonna give any quotable things here. You know, wet ball drills and all the other stuff. Those are things that you obviously have to be able to function with, and you'd like to keep it as dry as you can for everybody involved.
Sweaty butts. All right, so the other thing I've never understood – and I don't think I've ever actually asked why this is, and maybe you don't know. But the fact that the center, I mean, we talked about with Elton, and I still didn't ask, so I don't know what took me so long. But he's moving to a lower paid position from left guard to center. Why are centers the lowest paid position on the line? I feel like they have a lot of responsibilities between touching the ball every snap and making sure you don't screw up the snap. You have to block somebody and do another activity, which is snapping the ball. You have the responsibilities of surveying the field and making protection adjustments, especially if you have a young quarterback like Josh Myers did early in Jordan Love's time as a starter. Why is that? Is it just allegedly easier to play? What would Scott Wells and Corey Linsley and Frankie Bag of Donuts tell us other than that they were underpaid?
I mean, I'm not going to argue with you. Center is the most important position.
Right.
You have to get line calls. You have to snap. Nothing happens if you don't get your job done. Now, your right tackle can miss a block and you can still make a throw. Center doesn't get the snap up, or the center doesn't do your. So I think the reason would be you're not asked to block someone in the pass protection game one-on-one, hardly ever. I think if you're asking me why people value things the way they do, I would think that would be part of the equation. But as far as why all that other stuff goes, I have always been an advocate. When Flanny was doing it, you know, when Scotty Wells was doing it, it is a hard job. And you, especially when you have tackles yelling in, where are you declaring in the middle of it? And you got 6 seconds left on the shot, on the game clock, and you got, or the play clock, and you got to get that done. It is a stressful position, and the guys have to stay calm. They have to understand it. And that's why when you get a veteran that's really good, you hold on to him, because it's a critical spot. And that's why Elgton Jenkins understands that. It's why he's embracing it, and that's why the Packers eventually will end up making him as happy as, I guess, as possible without breaking the bank.
Well, we'll talk more about the offensive line shuffle, because I did have a conversation with Josh Jacobs about how that might affect what he's trying to do. We'll talk about that a little bit later after we talk about Quick Trip. I'm assuming on your way to TPC Wisconsin, you stopped at a Quick Trip to get yourself a cup of coffee.
Always, I'm craving that fresh coffee. I got my Caruba. I grabbed that on my way over. If you wanted a tasty bakery treat, whatever it might be, apps, Quick Trip's got you covered. And chicken, they're serving up their legendary, no ordinary chicken, juicy chicken tenders, or boneless wings that are hand-breaded, fried to perfection, and ready to go. Grab Quick Trip's crispy chicken sandwich, perfect for a quick bite. Plus, you get an 8-piece fried chicken meal that'll feed the whole crew. The legend on your plate and flavor that rules the roost. But you know, that's not the only deal going on. Kitchen Cravings, 5-ounce sirloin beef steak, sizzling, 2 for $4. Nature's Touch American Cheese Singles, 12-ounce packages for $1.99. And you get Nature's Touch Milk for just $1.99 a gallon. Head on over to Quick Trip. Get quick rewards on every visit. Plus, you can order ahead for pickup or curbside delivery. Quick Trip, we'll see you next time.
I kind of like the new read. There's some clever little phrases in there. I kind of like that. Tausch will roll on from TPC Wisconsin. We have him for one more segment, and then he will hit the links before he can do that. I do want to talk about one of the conversations we had with Josh Jacobs last week. I'll save the bigger offensive lineman, less yards after contact for tomorrow when I write about it at channel3000.com. We'll talk about the resurgence of running backs next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wilde and Tausch rolls on with Tausch at TPC Wisconsin, me in Green Bay, where we'll have an OTA tomorrow. But before we get to that, we had a conversation last week with Josh Jacobs on a myriad of topics. And Tausch, you're old school, right? When you were down on the farm kicking field goals between the silos, what running back did you and your brothers pretend to be?
Oh, man, I would think Gary Ellis was one.
Eddie Lee Ivory.
31, high pads. Eddie Lee Ivory. I think Brent Fullwood was, what, drafted 87, 88, somewhere
in that
area?
I think he was 89.
Okay, so he was another guy that I can remember. But Gary Ellis, you know, he ran real upright and then those were kind of the cats that, and obviously as I got older, we moved off the farm, et cetera, et cetera. But that was kind of the crew that I recall.
So I would say that Josh Jacobs is a throwback for a number of reasons, including he and his dad would watch all these old on YouTube, because he didn't have a VHS tape recorder. He would watch all the old school running backs. Walter Payton was one of his favorites. So we were talking last year about that, and then it's been interesting to see the evolution in just
is
the
Walter Payton. Is Walter Payton our, like, from a Packer fan standpoint, is he the Bear that we most respect?
Yes, gotta be, right?
I would think so, right? I mean, Ditka was somebody I think everybody kind of had a little hate. I think you respected him, but you hated him. I don't think Packer fans hated Walter Payton. I mean, Walter Payton was just a beast. I think you respected his talent.
And it's probably the way Bears fans felt about Favre, right? Like,
yeah,
you hated that he
so.
Kept beating you, but you respected the heck out of him and you wished you had him.
Yeah, I think that those are fair assessments. Yeah, obviously all those great defensive players that, you know, but yeah, all right. I think we're on the same page on that.
So we were talking, I just think it's so wild that, like, there was a time where running back was, if not the glamour position because it was still about quarterbacks, it was up there, right? Like, when I used to get the JCPenney catalog every year before Christmas and look at jerseys that I could ask Santa for, I got a Walter Payton one. Like, those were the ones that most teams had as their, like, most identifiable player besides their quarterback. And then we went through this phase where nobody wanted to pay running backs. And now, Saquon Barkley helped carry his team to a Super Bowl title. Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs made a huge impact on his team in his first year. So we asked him if he thought that there's been a shift back to valuing the running back position. Here is what Josh had to say.
Having talked to you about you and your dad watching old videos of all the guys Rob just mentioned, does it surprise you? I mean, it was 2 years ago that the Raiders were franchise tagging you because they didn't want to make a long-term commitment to a running back.
Yeah.
Is it surprising to you how it's turned as quickly as it has?
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, when I was coming out and it was my turn, like, I don't want to say nobody names, but a lot of guys before me that got paid on their second contract kind of, like, it was kind of up in the air, you know, like what they did, either they got hurt or they didn't play seasons and things like that. So that kind of affected everybody. But, like, now the guys, like you say, you look at Derrick Henry, you look at Saquon, you look at Joe Mixon, these guys are on their second, third contracts and they still balling. And I think that played a big factor into it.
So here's the thing that I love about that. I love Josh Jacobs, man. He tried not to say anything too derogatory, but he's talking about all those running backs who got paid and then weren't productive. Ruining the market for them, right? That's what he's saying.
Well, he is saying that, but let's not kid ourselves. The league had made its mind up that guys were replaceable, and now you're seeing Saquon. He's shown he's not replaceable. You ask the New York Giants, and I still think a vast majority of NFL teams, Saquon is one. There are not many Saquons. I think Josh Jacobs had a great year last year, but the proof's going to be in the pudding.
Yeah,
he's gonna have to go put up a big boy year this year, and if he thinks he's going to get 20 plus like Saquon from the Packers, I think he's going to be sorely mistaken.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And his contract is also, he is basically, this is last year of that deal.
You're right.
I know
about
he's got
that
a couple
too.
Years left, but they got a big boy number, and they're going to have to revamp it. And Josh Jacobs is talking. You know, it's everything's great when you're humming along and you're having big boy numbers. Let's say he sprains an ankle and misses 6 weeks, and I'm not. I hope that doesn't happen.
Breaks
but
a chin
what do you
strap.
Think is, well, no, I'm saying like his production, like running backs get hurt.
I know,
and so I'll be curious how this season plays out for this. Running backs, especially when you start getting into, what is Jacobs, 28, 29, something like that?
He's only 27 right now.
All right, he's 27. So he's got a 2 or 3 year window, and he's going to need to maximize every dollar. And listening to what he had to say, he obviously is going to want to break the bank his next time around, and it'll be this offseason. So hopefully he balls out, has a year, wins a Super Bowl, and they Saquonize him. That would be awesome. And if they don't do that, and he doesn't have that kind of year, and all of a sudden Marshawn Lloyd has a good year, and maybe somebody else emerges, you think the Packers are going to say, you know what, Josh, you've been good. Even though you had a little bit of a down year, we still want to pay you Saquon Barkley-type money, which is what he's going to want. I think we all know how that story ends. So this is a big year for everybody. I think it's a really big year for Josh Jacobs, too.
That's a really good point. I do think it's interesting, though, that the Raiders didn't want to pay him. And then what did they go out and do? They drafted a running back in the first round. So they clearly have changed their tune a little bit on the importance of running back.
I disagree. It's you draft a guy, you get him 5 years in his prime, and this dude is the real deal. Ashton Jeanty isn't some run-of-the-mill running back. He was should have won the Heisman probably, and they are thinking he's
got voted
special.
For him.
He's got special qualities to have. So I get it, but let's not try to conflate both of those things because I don't think that's an accurate assessment.
Really good pushback by you on this topic. Really, really good. You're ruining the angle that I was thinking about writing by doing it. But you don't.
Just trying to keep it honest.
Well, you're doing a great job. All right. We will say goodbye to you as the birds chirp. Hit them straight. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, buddy. Thanks.
You bet.
That is Mark Tauscher. He's headed to the links. You should head to Associated Bank and make the switch to the best bank of the business. They've got the awards to prove it in terms of customer service. If you want Packers checking or Badgers checking or Brewers checking, great. Be wonderful. But what you really want is their great customer service with early pay, fraud protection, credit monitoring, everything you need to make sure your finances are in place. Go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
We bid farewell to Old T. Hopefully he gets a playing partner in the Pro-Am, because Lord knows he's not the pro. Before we get to Woe Hunter, let's take a quick call from our discussion earlier about leadership and Favre and Rodgers and where love is in that space-time continuum. Let's go to John, the horse trainer. John, giddy up. What do you got for us?
Well, hey, I appreciate you taking my call, Jason. This is a hot take, man. You know, we sit here and compare Rodgers and Jordan Love and Brett Favre, kind of all, Jordan's in his first 2 years, so that it's kind of a little unfair. But, man, just get this, Jason. You look at both Favre and Rodgers' first 2 years, and you put Jordan Love statistically in that argument, he finishes in the middle between those two. For example, Jordan Love's completion percentage is 63.7. Favre 64, Aaron Rodgers 64, Favre 62, right, lands in the middle. Passing yards first 2 years, Jordan Love 7,500 yards, Rodgers 8,000, Favre 6,000. Jordan Love touchdowns 57, Rodgers 58, Favre 37. Now the interceptions goes way up for Favre at 37, Aaron Rodgers 20, Jordan Love 22. He just lands right in the middle of those two. So I think the best case scenario and the most fun I've had watching this guy play is when he looks a little Favrean and when he looks a little bit like Aaron Rodgers. And at the end of the day, we've seen flashes of both. I'm not saying he's going to get to those guys' level, but we've seen it. And statistically, the facts are the facts. So I just wanted to share that with you. Because I enjoyed listening to that conversation today.
Yeah, and you're right, John. We kind of dovetailed into where they are as players, but I think the issue is, at least when Tausch was playing with Favre, Favre was obviously well-established, right? He'd won his three MVPs. He didn't play with Favre during those early years. He was there for Rodgers' early years, and then he was an analyst thereafter watching Rodgers from afar, and he was appearing on the show, etc. But yeah, look, if Tausch was here, he would quote Natasha Bedingfield, right? It's still unwritten when it comes to Jordan Love. And I think this is a really pivotal season for him. I want to see what he does. And by the way, on an unrelated note, while we were talking about the Packers' offensive line, some breaking news from the NFL and a team that won the division, the NFC North, the last 2 years. Frank Ragnow, the Lions' four-time Pro Bowl center, has announced his retirement. Was this something that was expected, Hunter?
I wasn't expecting it. He's only 29. Like, it feels like there's more linemen that are doing this, though. They get closer to that 30, and then they're like, yeah, I'm kind of good. Like, I was not expecting him. I figured he would play a few more years if you're going to deep dive into the Lions. Like, with their window right now and the talent that they have, you would think he would have been a guy that'd be that centerpiece for them on that O-line still, going to try and make a run to a Super Bowl. Like, this was really surprising.
So he says in his post on Instagram announcing his retirement, I've tried to convince myself that I'm feeling good, but I'm not. And it's time to prioritize my health and my family's future. I have given this team everything I have, and I thought I had more to give, but the reality is I simply don't. I have to listen to my body. And this has been one of the hardest decisions of my life. Now, again, I don't know anything about his contract. I don't know if there was any other things underlying to this. I will say this. He is definitely, to your point, Hunter, not the first young offensive lineman to say, all right, I've made enough money. I'm done getting my body beat up. I'm calling it a career. So that is not unprecedented. That's for sure.
Well, and when guys talk that way, it always just reminds me of Favre and, like, how much people would get frustrated with the back and forth of it. But I think, you know, for Frank here, he got to a point in the offseason where he's like, you know, I kind of like this. I'm not having to do anything, and probably got into a couple of practices and was like, I don't want to keep doing this. Like, this isn't what I want to do anymore. I don't have the joy in it anymore, and that, like, love to show up and have to grind and beat myself up just to get myself ready to get beat up even worse in a game. Like, I think that's the part that people forget, is that it isn't just the, like, oh, they'll go out there and they play on Sundays. Like, you get beat up in practice, and it's a grind just to get yourself ready for the more physical part of the game.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what they do, because obviously this happened after June 1st, and it's not as bad as if he had retired heading into training camp, but they obviously will have to do some juggling now on their offensive line. Speaking of juggling, we've done it all day, and it's time now for Woe Hunter.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wilde and Tausch.
Jason, you went and picked up the family from the airport, and you and I brought this up to you off the air, and I want to bring it on the air. It was about 2 months ago now, my wife and sister-in-law went on a trip, and when they were coming back, my wife gave me a time for picking them up. My assumption was that was the time that their flight would be landing. So then in my mind, I'm like, okay, 10, 15 minutes to get off the plane, about 5 to 10 minutes to get their luggage then at the Dane County Airport. Like, okay, I've got enough time. This is when I can leave the office here in Madison. Nope. She gave me the time she wanted to be picked up and expected to be outside of the airport. Like, is that crazy behavior? Like, don't you just give the time that the flight lands and then you let people get there and get to the cell phone lot if you're getting picked up?
Well, let me ask you this. In 2025, aren't you tracking the flights in the app so you know?
No. Didn't know that was a thing.
So, Paula and the girls were on Delta, so I had the app, and I saw that their flight took off early, and then it was landing, obviously, significantly early. They did not enjoy waiting for me to pick them up, by the way, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Sent a few pictures of me being very disappointed. I think they were overacting a little bit. But be that as it may, so I knew our plan for me departing and then coming back was going to be challenged. So, but at least I knew what time they were landing early. So did they land on time? Your wife gave you the time for pickup, and you showed up at the time she said to pick her up, right?
I showed up at that time, actually a little bit after it, assuming that, okay, I've got that like 25-minute window.
Because you thought it was the landing time.
Yes. So now, anytime, like, she's had back-to-back work trips, and I had to ask her both times, like, okay, is that the landing time, or is that your expected, like, pickup time? And it has become a whole thing now. And I feel like I was vilified for something that, like, I would just tell people, this is when I land. Like, let them figure it out.
That's fair. I'm going to recommend to you that you start tracking flights for future reference.
Be a good millennial and actually get an app and, like, actually use technology.
I think that, again, if you want to be old school, I get you. I got it. I understand. But probably a little bit on you. But I don't understand why she would give you a time that she wants you to pick her up at. That is an interesting angle.
My wife is very type A. She's an event planner, like, so for her, like, that just makes sense of just like, yeah, this is when I want you to be here. Like, just get here then. So it makes sense for her personality. I'm just not wired that way. So then it was just that crossing of the way we communicate with each other. So we used it as a, you know, use some coach speak. It was a good teaching moment for us as a team. We had a conversation, a players only meeting, and we figured things out and we're moving forward.
Well, I would say that you will take a valuable lesson from me today, and you will make sure that you use an app for future reference.
Yes, every single time.
Whoa, Nelly!
There's some rumors that Bobby Portis will be signing his player option and coming back to the Bucks. Is that a good sign that maybe Giannis is coming back too?
Whew. Are those do you believe any of those things are related?
I think that Giannis wants his guys around him similarly to Aaron Rodgers. It makes, again, that grind of the season, that tough work, especially if you're not going to have Dame, a little bit more tolerable if it's guys you enjoy being around for the 82-game season.
I am very curious if this is a good thing. I mean, look, I think it's a good thing regardless, right? I think it's a good thing because he is one of Giannis's guys. It all makes sense that way. Whether or not it has any influence, though, I'm not sure about that, right? I mean, well, I'm still not convinced. I think Homer did a very good job of warning us to try and make sure that you watched Giannis in case he left. And he got a lot of grief for that, which I actually thought was a reasonable take. He never said he's definitely leaving. Enjoy him in case he does. And then there's the conversations about him possibly leaving. So I think Homer was right on that. Now, if Homer, he stays, great.
Homer says things sometimes in a way where I think if you don't really listen to what he's saying and you only hear him, you're like, oh, that man's a lunatic. But if you actually listen to it and that's you process true, what he's saying, you're like, okay, that actually makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'm in the camp of, I think it's in the best, as weird as this is, it's in the best interest of the Bucks to trade Giannis and get something before he leaves as a free agent. I would rather them try and make a move to be good long-term after Giannis than just be like, okay, he's gone, and I guess now we have $50 million to try and spend. So I get the idea of trying to trade him. I want any good news because he's just so much fun to watch, and I just want him to be in Milwaukee forever.
So from what I'm seeing, the genesis of this was Jim Ozarski from the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel, who is their beat writer for the Bucks, did a Ask Me Anything on Reddit, and he said in there, I wrote early on I thought Bobby would be a sign-and-trade candidate after an opt-out, But the more I'm hearing is he may be more likely to opt in. And if that were to occur, I think that actually gives them, not only does it give them the flexibility of having a guy that we think Giannis likes. I mean, I don't know the Bucks interactions that well, so I'm not going to pretend that I know their relationship in and out. But it does give them flexibility if they did want to trade him, too, I suppose, if they're trying to get more assets, or different assets, I should say. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. It's been quiet now, and now we're into the finals. So I wonder what the next kind of Giannis freak shoe to drop will be and what kind of attention it gets.
Oh, it's going to get a ton of attention. I mean, on Mr. Irrelevant, we're breaking down the song lyrics to his Instagram posts because we're just trying to get any sign of what he might do.
That seems healthy.
Oh, Nelly!
Oh, yeah, it's totally normal, Jason. One last one here. Luke Fickell over the weekend got three commits, all three of them on the defensive side, two D linemen and a linebacker, the linebacker from Appleton North High School. That's got to be a good sign. Again, trying to just get any positives I can here. It's a good sign if we've got an in-state kid committing to Wisconsin, a three-star linebacker who had some other Big Ten schools that were interested. If he's coming to Wisconsin and saying, yep, I believe in what they're doing there, I'm going to sign with the Badgers.
Yeah, look, I love it when and Barry Alvarez was the first one to say it, right, to build a wall around the state. I just, you know, I look back on our conversation with Chris McIntosh on Friday from the Legends golf outing at University Ridge. And I think about what Fickell told us when he was on a couple months ago about them having a better understanding of how to approach NIL. We still don't have the final decision, though, on what that format's going to look like. We don't know when we're going to get that. Hunter, it's great. An Appleton North kid staying in state. That's a good thing. He might have stayed if you were the head coach at Wisconsin, though, right? I mean, he might have. It may be just I want to be a Badger. There's plenty of kids that are like that. But good, you're right. If you're seeking a positive thing, that would be one of them. So revel in it all you like.
Whoa, Nelly!
You know what? We've got enough time real quick. Just one last thing, and of course, Tyrese Haliburton. It looked like he thought he won the Eastern Conference Final MVP, and then it turned out to be Pascal Siakam as Tyrese kind of took a step forward. That's got to be one of the most embarrassing things, right, to have
so
that on video.
I saw this on social media yesterday. So that is what happened, right? I mean, it sure looks like it.
Yeah, there's no other reason for him to be, like, doing the, like, hand gesture, dance kind of thing, and then take, like, a half step forward and then not hear his name, and then he stops and his, like, facial expression changed. Like, he absolutely thought that he was winning it. Now, granted, it was turned out they showed the voting and he was one vote off from getting it. That's how close it was. But yeah, he absolutely thought he was getting it. So now forever, he's going to have that embarrassing moment of, I thought I was the finals MVP, but I actually wasn't.
Yeah, should he have been instead of Pascal Siakam?
Maybe. Like, I understand why Siakam got it. Like, it makes sense, but It's still funny. And, like, I love that Tyrese is a Oshkosh North kid and a Wisconsin guy. Like, I still kind of root for him, but all the stuff with his dad, like, it made me chuckle, and I kind of felt good in that painful, awkward moment from him.
That is it for Woe Hunter. We have an update from Jesse Nelson.
Oh, geez.
Hunter, I hope you're available tomorrow.
I think I am. We're going to be losing Jesse for a while, aren't we?
We'll have the update next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Our Crew.
Abreu's going back and watching it sail. It's a grand slam. Oh, my goodness, Christian Yelich.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball, 100.5 ESPN.
I'm tempted to hit the breaking news sounder. What do you think, Hunter? Do you think this qualifies?
Yeah, for the show, I think it qualifies as some breaking news. I can get that going right now.
All right, let's hit it.
Oh, baby, now this is some breaking news.
It's breaking news. I'm not sure it's surprising news. From the Dane County Courthouse, I assume, is where this is coming from?
I would think so.
I will not be on the show tomorrow or Wednesday, and I am not allowed to say any more, is the text message from Jesse. And then, shortly thereafter, guys, I'm on the jury.
Of course he is. Like, he made it sound in his text messages to me starting last night when we found out that this was a possibility, that he was going to try and get out of this. He was going to try and throw the interview, do whatever he could to get out of it. Now I feel like he lied to me.
Did you? Did you believe him?
I'm dumb enough that I did, Jason. I thought for sure that Jesse would do the right thing for the station and for the team and throw the interview. I should have known better.
Well, you were wrong. Look, I never believed he was going to throw the interview. I believed he wanted to do this. And congratulations. He got what he wanted. He is on a jury. He is legally bound not to tell us anything about the case. I'm very, very, very curious now. Because if we're being honest, Jesse's been known to annoy people from time to time. We all have.
Yep.
But I don't know if I want to be sequestered with him in a jury room. I'm not sure I'm on board with that. And by the way, don't most people want to be excused? Don't they want to avoid being on the jury?
Yeah. So then even if he tried to throw the interview, that means he's just that bad at it that he reverted the complete opposite way. Because I'm still going to try and have that faith in Jesse that he did try and throw it. And if he did, that means he's just that bad at it, which is awful because I feel like it can't be that hard to get out of jury duty.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like you could really get yourself in trouble, though, if you start saying stuff like, oh, I'm sure they're guilty. That I believe in guilty until proven innocent. That's my philosophy. Like, I think you could get in trouble for saying that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I mean more like I feel like you can give some strong, like if you give some strong enough kind of political views that it's very clear, you just lean on one way or the other. And like you're very much this is what I believe in. This is my worldview. And I am on this side and I'm not a movable person. That I feel like that's the type of person they wouldn't want on a jury. Like, I feel like they want somebody that they can influence and mold to go the way that they would want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, okay. I feel like I could do it. I feel like I could throw that.
You feel
enough.
Like you could get out of jury duty.
Yes.
And if you were given the choice, you would choose to try and get out of it as opposed to what Jesse clearly did, which was try to get on the jury and succeeded.
Yep.
Well, we thank Jesse for his civic duty. We wish him luck in his pursuit of truth, justice, and the American way. And congratulations, Hunter. I think you're working the show tomorrow.
That's good. I'm off on Wednesday, so it'll probably be Riley Yauch on Wednesday. But I'm excited to be back.
Well, I'll let you guys handle the scheduling. We do have an OTA practice that we also have to schedule around tomorrow as the Packers will be back on the field. So I'm sure you'll handle it as well as you handled today with me driving to the airport. All right, that's it for us today. We'll see how Tausch fares in the Pro-Am at the AmFam Championship. And we'll see how Jesse fares in the jury box. I can't believe I got to know. I want to know these lawyers that we're in favor of him being on the jury. That's it for us today. We'll do it again tomorrow without Jesse. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.